Well, good morning, everybody. A wee bit sorry about a wee bit late in getting started today. Just a few technical issues, but we're hopefully all ready to go. But let's come to worship the Lord this morning. Summer has finally come this last few days. How long it's going to last, I don't know. But let's read the psalm. Let's read a psalm. This is a psalm for giving thanks. So Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. And we're going to sing our opening hymn. We have to change a few this morning, because I've no pianist this morning, Isabel's away, but let's sing our opening hymn. It's well known, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Let's rise and sing together.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people in. Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender, who truly believes.
Continue to worship the Lord as we seek his face in prayer. Now let's come before the throne of God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice, for you have done great things. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the Almighty God. We worship and we adore you this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have indeed sent your Son. We can come to you, O Father, through Jesus the Son. Thank you for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The many blessings which are ours day by day, forgive us, Lord, for the many blessings we take for granted. And cleanse our hearts of sin and stubbornness and pride, we pray. But thank you most of all for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Saviour. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the door by which we may enter into your, and therein and be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Thank you, he is risen from the dead, he's alive forevermore. And all who call to him in repentance and faith will know the joy of assured salvation. And in a world that's there seems to be so little hope, if any hope at all, Lord, seems to be such a hopeless situation, worrying times, but thank you that in Christ there is hope, hope now and for the life that is to come. Heavenly Father, we pray that we'd be cleansed of our sin and that we'd be filled with your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, and better equipped to serve you. And indeed, even this day, may we know it was good to be in the house of God, and may we be strengthened and encouraged in our faith, we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings of the week, which is gone by. We thank you for many blessings, Heavenly Father, for the way that you've provided for us, for the measure of health and strength and soundness of mind that you give day by day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the safe arrival of a new grandchild for Sandra and Catherine, Heavenly Father, and just pray that you'd bless family at this time. Thank you, Lord, we rejoice for the milestone for Alec and Joan as well, reaching their golden wedding, and we just pray you'd bless them and their family in these days. And Heavenly Father, bless others known to us. Some have marked special birthdays this week as well, and just pray, Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings which are ours, and cause us to give thanks and to keep on trusting and depending on you in these days. Lord, we do pray for those who are absent from us at this time. Be with Norman this morning as he's preaching at the Bodham Church, and be with others, Heavenly Father, might be away on holiday, or maybe laid aside through sickness or ill health, and maybe not able to get out to the house of God for whatever reason. We just pray that you'd be very near to them at this time, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we do pray as well for the town and community that we're living in. It's difficult at times, there's lots of difficult situations that people are facing, lots of different social problems and difficulties. Lord, we do pray for a change. We pray, Lord, that you'd make your presence known in the town and community once again, that you'd come and revive your church. We pray for a spiritual and a moral healing for the nation as well. Lord, we do certainly pray for the new Prime Minister and the new government, that you'd give them wisdom and guidance about the decisions that they have to make. But we don't put our confidence in men, Lord. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, as your word says. And we pray, Heavenly Father, help us to look to you and depend on you in these days. And thank you, Lord, for the gospel freedoms we have in our land. And we do pray for their protection as well, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the freedom we have to come and worship in church buildings like this and have meetings and to proclaim your word faithfully. We do pray that you continue to protect these freedoms. Bless those serving you at home and abroad, Heavenly Father. Let them know their labour for you is not in vain. Many may be facing very hard and difficult situations. We pray that you'd be near to them and help and encourage them, Lord. And where there's persecution against your church, Lord God, we do pray that these persecutions would ease and cease and that people would have liberty to spread the truth of the gospel, the only hope for mankind. Heavenly Father, we're mindful as well there's some conflicts in different parts of the world. We pray that you'd minister into these situations, that you bring about peaceful solutions, Lord God. And Lord, we do pray, may the nations praise you, Lord, may all the nations praise you. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. We pray even this morning, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, bless our time together. Thank you that you do hear and answer prayer. And be with us and help us, Lord, encourage us in our faith this morning. And bless other such gatherings throughout our town, community, and indeed throughout our land, and wherever, Lord, wherever the word has been preached this day, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The sun never sets on your kingdom. And bless the ministry of the word throughout the land and throughout the world this day, Lord. We just pray that you continue to build your church, Lord, and bring glory to your name. Hear us this morning, we ask it, and we pray these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Amen. Well, I do have quite a few announcements, so please bear with me just for a moment. So, well, of course, as you can see, the table is laid out here, so it's a communion Sunday today, and you are invited to take of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And of course, we did have a communion last week as well. There'll also be one. No, I was going to say there's going to be one next week as well. I think it'll just be back onto the rota. It's just There's one last week because of the testimony night last week as well on Sunday evening. And so we've got a communion this week just to get back onto the rota, and the communion will be every 2 weeks as usual at this time. Do pray for Anne Mitchell, who is in Florth Ward. She's in Florth Ward at Fraserburgh Hospital. As many of you will know, that she has been seriously unwell this last while. This week she was moved to the Fraserburgh Hospital at Florth Ward. We do need to pray for her in these days. Well, I have mentioned these things in the prayer, but it is a congratulations to Alec and Joan. Last Sunday they had their golden wedding, and also a special congratulations as well to Zander and Catherine, because Katie and her husband Andy have had a baby boy. He was born in Prague, so I don't know if that makes him a Czech or a Scot or whatever, but Angus is his name, and he arrived on Friday. Now, I do have a couple of messages to read out. I've got one. I mentioned the testimony night last week. So here's a message from Mark and Sharon Hind. Hi, what a blessing it was to share last night. Thanks again for having us speak. Thank you also for the gift. After all, you have already done for us. We are so grateful. Please pass on our thanks and love to all. Many blessings from Mark and Sharon. And then I've got a thank you card here, which I can pop up at the side. This is from the Moller family, from Matt Moller and his family. Dear friends at FBC, we want to say thank you so much, not only for the very generous love gift, but also for the months of kindness and friendship that you have shown to our family. I can truly echo the words of the Apostle Paul when I think of you. I thank my God. This is a quote from, this is a mention of Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Sincerely, Matt and Erica and the family. Okay, these are just about all the announcements. One more as well. Speaker next week, a new face. Actually, we haven't not heard him before. Keith Hay, he's from the Bucky Baptist Church, where, of course, Graham Mayer is now ministering. Well, it's Graham had put me on to him. So Keith Hay will be the speaker next Sunday morning from Bucky. Right, these are all the announcements. I think that's all I need to mention today. Let's come to the scripture then. Bible reading, it's one of the Psalms. I read a Psalm this morning. I'm going to read another one now. It's one of the Psalms of Ascent. And of course, you'll recall that Robbie did a series on these Psalms twice, actually, when he was here. But Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And we're going to read it all together. So Psalm 126, it's a song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. So we'll be looking at that psalm a bit later on this morning. We're about to come to the Lord's table. Before we do, we're going to sing that famous hymn of John Newton's, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Let's rise and sing together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set.
Come to the Lord's table. We read these words of the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As we come to the Lord's table, let's give thanks for the bread, which reminds us of the body of our Saviour, broken for sinners like us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do bow in your presence. Lord, your word declares all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Your word also says that the wages of sin is death. And Heavenly Father, if you marked our transgressions, who could stand? We're all sinners, born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But thank you, Heavenly Father, when the fullness of time had come, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that although the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But Lord, we know that the Saviour had to suffer. Suffering is the path to glory. The Scripture points out that the Saviour had to suffer and bleed and die and offer up his life for sinners like us at Calvary's cross. And thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Help us never to forget what our Saviour did for sinners like us at Calvary. Thank you that Christ has died to redeem his people, to save his people, and all who believe in him shall have eternal life. Thank you for so great salvation and through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we take of the wafer this morning, may we receive it with glad and thankful hearts, and we pray that you renew and strengthen us in our faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'll leave it open. Would someone like to give thanks for the cup which reminds us of our Saviour's blood shed for sinners like us? So, Heavenly Father, we do bow in your presence. Thank you that our Saviour was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Thank you that Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree. The price for our sins has been paid once and for all. Thank you that Jesus Christ has shed his blood for sinners like us. And thank you once again for such great salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you, he has risen from the dead. He is alive forevermore. And thank you for the great hope that we have in and through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we take this cup once again, may we receive it with glad and thankful hearts. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time around the Lord's table. Bless us all, we pray. Strengthen us in our faith. Thank you that this feast is only till he come. Jesus is coming again. Until that day, Lord, may we be filled with your Spirit, laboring for you, witnessing for you, and living our lives in the light of his coming. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture tells us that after the disciples had broken bread in the upper room, they then sang a hymn. So we're going to sing our next hymn. There is our Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Speak to us afresh from your word. Teach us by your Spirit. And be glorified in our midst, we pray. And may we know it was good to be this morning in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, we're looking at Psalm 126 then. So if you've got your Bible, it'd be handy to have it open for these next few moments. But Psalm 126. How often have you heard the saying, that's just too good to be true? That's just too good to be true. Scotland's away to play in the European Championships, and I've got a good chance of winning this time. That really was too good to be true, wasn't it? Sometimes, actually, this would be very appropriate for what I've just said just now, but sometimes you might be told if it's too good to be true, that it usually is, it isn't. Okay? Some things, then, you might just say are just too good to be true. Well, that might have been how it appeared to the author or the readers of Psalm 126 when it was initially written, when the Lord restore the fortunes of Zion. That's how the people referring to, that's how the people referred to in Psalm 126 may have felt. It's just too good to be true. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. What had happened? What's the history? The generation of Jews that had conquered the promised land in the days of Joshua were true to the Lord. So were their children, but the third generation broke the covenant and turned to idols. And their fall is recorded for us in Judges chapter 2. And God punished his people by allowing others to invade, to rob and destroy them. And then they would cry out to the Lord, and a judge or a deliverer would come and deliver them for another number of years. And the pattern goes on down through the generations. God would punish his people. He would allow nations to invade, rob and destroy. Then they would repent. He would bless them. And then we had went from the era of the judges to the era of the kings. And the same thing happened. But when Israel's rebellion became so great that the land was defiled, God took them out of the land and sent them into Babylon for 70 years. Now they were free. The prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah had both promised there would be a return from the exile. But now it's actually happening, and it may have just felt it's too good to be true. The dream has actually become a reality. It seems to be too good to be true, but it is this time. The dream really has become a reality, and the people can make a fresh start. Well, let's remember this, that with God all things are possible. Scripture quite clearly teaches us that. God is the one behind all these events. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, he's the one that's opened up the way. He's the one who judged the nation, caused them to be brought into exile. He is the prime mover. Now he is the one that's restoring the fortunes. He's the one that's opening the way for them to come back. There are human instruments involved. King Cyrus has issued the decree that the people can return to the land. But it's the Lord who was behind all these events. And the events, he's not just responsible, he's not just behind what goes on in this nation, in the nation of Israel, the people of Israel in those days, or I should say the nation of Judah, but he's also responsible for the events in our nation. He's also rather behind the events, I should say, the events in our nation and others. All of it's under his control. Keir Starmer and the new government, it's all under his control. Okay, situation in America, Mr. Trump, Mr. Biden, all under his control. Mr. Putin causing trouble in the East, in Eastern Europe, in conflict. Trouble in the Gaza Strip. God knows God is in control. So let's just go through the psalm and see first of all that God is in control. And the first thing we see in the psalm in the opening verses is an act of God. And great things are done here. It's an act of God. When the Lord, focus there on the Lord, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. Okay. Most of the psalms were written during the reign of King David. But these words here in Psalm 126 point to an event centuries after David. That's the return of the Jews from their captivity in Babylon. Although most psalms were written during David's reign, that doesn't mean that other songs weren't added to the collection later. Now what happened? Okay, as I say, the people were in exile in Babylon for a generation, 70 years. The people there were repentant. They would have realized that the captivity was due to their sin. They had a time to reflect. Was there witness in Babylon? They were taken out of their land, their homeland, and put into a pagan land under an ungodly and a wicked dictatorship. Was there witness in the midst of the trouble? The Lord does not leave himself without a witness. Scripture tells us of the preaching of Ezekiel, the prophet, and also the witness of Daniel and his three friends in the midst of hardships and affliction and pressure to compromise. But during the time of the exile, it was a time to seek the Lord, it was a time to repent. And then the news comes, you're going home. You're going home. It's like a dream. We were like those who dream. Almost too good to be true. but it was. And what does the psalmist describe here? What's the picture he gives us? Can you imagine it? A people laughing and praising and rejoicing. Our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongues with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for us. So it's a time of laughing, a time of praising, a time of rejoicing. While they had been in Babylon, the people had refused to sing. All right, here's a test of how old some of you are now. Who do you remember? Boney M. Yeah, come on, you're a bit embarrassed to nod your heads there. Who remembers Boney M? What was the famous song again? There are many famous songs, big hits. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, there we wept and we remembered. Even I can remember that. Okay, by the rivers of Babylon. Where's it come from? It comes from Psalm 137, the opening verses. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. So they wept by the waters when we remembered Zion. On the willows there, we hung up our lyres. Okay, they were refusing to sing. They hung up their musical instruments. Now, though, the situation has changed. They're filled with joy. Our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongues with shouts of joy. Undoubtedly, this is the Lord's doing. He is the prime mover of all these events. What's this famous hymn again? What's the hymn behind us? Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Praise the Lord. If you stop for a moment and think, doesn't this point forward to a picture of our salvation? We were all in bondage. People are in bondage to sin, but God has spoken. God has acted in history. He's intervened. He has spoken through Christ. And he sets people free. You will know the truth, Jesus says. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, it will be free indeed. You will be free indeed. I'll say it again. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Right, we're in bondage to sin. We're set free because of Jesus, because he has died for his people on the cross, paid for their sin, and we've been brought out of our bondage, no longer slaves to sin, but free in Christ Jesus. It's a work of God. It's grace. The events in Psalm 126, the setting free of the captives from Babylon, from bondage. It's a picture of what will happen in God's redemption plan. And what's going on as well? Coming back to these people, they're filled with joy. Their joy is so great, other nations hear. In verse 2, they said, among the nations the Lord has done great things for them. Surely as well, the mark of a true conversion is the joy and the desire to tell people just flows out. You think of the Thessalonians. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said that they're 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll just read it to you. The word had come to the Thessalonians. We read these words, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. Their witness was so impressive, it just poured out of them and it reached out to others. So, coming back to the people here, their joy is so great. God has done a great thing for them. Other nations hear, it's said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for us. Now, what did they see when they returned? We're not actually told in the psalm here what they saw. Did they see something beautiful? Remember, they've been away from the land for 70 years, so the older generation, being in their 70s and their 80s and their 90s, and even older, would have remembered what it was like before. Are they going back and seeing something beautiful? Well, Nehemiah tells us what happened when the exiles returned, what they saw. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and his gates have been burned by fire. Not very attractive, is it? The ruins of a city. So why does that cause them to rejoice when they see it? And why is that wonderful to them? It's all about what they represented. It's a reminder of God's promises to them, ultimately a reminder of God's promises to them being fulfilled. Now, it reminds us that God will always work out his promises. He will certainly work out the promise of salvation to all who call on him. He says in his word, okay, through the Apostle Paul, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. So all who call on him in repentance and faith will be saved. God will always fulfill that promise. He also gives the promise of his presence. The promise to build his church despite the persecutions and the opposition. The promise ultimately as well of glory for his people. That we shall reign with him. God will always fulfill his promises and his purposes for his people. He'll work out the plans to perfection according to his timetable. And you know the psalmist is looking back here. Okay, the people know that God's promises will be fulfilled. But the psalmist is also looking back. Okay, now they're seeing these, the ruins of the gates and the walls. The psalmist looks back to a time, though, this is a great time for them, a time of great blessing and renewal. They've been brought back out of their captivity to the land. It's a time of renewal. God has stepped in. Now, the description we have here of the release from captivity points to every time when God steps in the lives of his people, the church. Seasons of revival. Okay, it's recorded for us in books of church history and different volumes. Seasons of revival and renewal, such as the Protestant Reformation, the 16th century, the 18th century revival, George Whitefield, John Wesley, the 1859 revival happening, actually beginning. I'm surprised to find this out, actually it began in Aberdeen. But also this was occurring in America, in Ireland, Scotland. There was the Welsh Revival, 1904, and then, of course, the one that we'd be most familiar with, the Fisherman's Revival, 1921 in East Anglia, and here in the northeast of Scotland, here in the Brocken, here in this church. Times of revival, times of renewal. But also, God works in different ways, not just through revival. There's been times of blessing, and maybe we, depending on our generation, the time that we grew up, we could look back to times of blessing. Conversions. Larger church attendances, not just here but elsewhere. Times of gospel mission and outreach. Regular preaching of the word. Open airs down by the harbour and the fish market or whatever in the Broadgate. Good strong children's outreach. When the Sunday school was packed, I can remember it, okay, when the hall in there was full from the front to the back and dear old Derry Morris teaching us the books of the Bible and different Bible verses and the different teachers. And the children's meeting, of course, with those that were involved there. At a time as well, we can look back to that, blessings in the northeast of Scotland. At a time as well, generally, when the country was more God-fearing. Church attendance was higher. Nowadays, the census, the most recent census declares that for the first time, less than half the people now would say they believe in God. Way back in the 50s and 60s, maybe about, I think it was 3% would dare to say that. That they didn't believe in God. It was a time when the country was more God-fearing. There was respect for the Sabbath. Church attendance was higher. And the country was in a better state. Well, we can look back and say, weren't those better days? Times of blessing come from the Lord. So let's just remember this and be encouraged that God is still the same today. He's unchanged. He's still building his church. Now maybe the blessings moved away from this land to others. He is building his church throughout the world. But certainly, The future of this nation's in his hand. He can restore the fortunes. We have a call to look to him, to seek him. He is the prime mover of events. Seek him. Depend on him. All right, when Keir Starmer was selected a few weeks ago, he said we'll be a party that puts the interest of the nation before interests of the party. Does anyone seriously believe that? And I'm not speaking about you people here, I'm speaking about anyone in the nation. Seriously believe that now? Okay, people have become so disillusioned with politics and leaders. We're not to depend on leaders. The Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Look to him. Seek him. Depend on him. Don't lose heart. Don't forget God is still in control and that Jesus Christ is the Lord and God is working out his purposes always. God's, what's the old children's chorus? God's not dead. No, he is alive. Right? God is working out his plans and purposes. Let's move on in the psalm then. The psalmist is rejoicing in a work of God. Okay, the Lord has restored the fortunes of the nation. But the psalmist moves on in verse 4, just at one verse this time, a plea to God. A plea to God. Okay, there's a change in the narrative here. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. From the happy note, there's a more somber, serious one. Because, now you'd have been thinking this as well, and I've been listing off the different blessings that the town and the community here knew in the past, you were probably thinking what the psalmist was thinking in verse 4. It's not like that now. Okay? As he looks back at the time of rejoicing and happy days, it causes him to realise it's not like that now. The people of the nation are not as close to God as they were when released from captivity. They're not so God-fearing. They have not, praise God, they have not gone back to idol worship, but complacency has set in. And you look at the post-exile prophets, okay, Haggai and Malachi. You can see what's going on there, what's happening in the nation. In Haggai chapter 1, the people are so occupied with building their own houses, okay, their own business, they have little interest in God's house. In the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the prophet speaks of offering polluted offerings to the Lord in the Lord's house. Malachi chapter 1, verse 7, for instance, by offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. Okay, the Lord speaks about offering polluted offerings, giving polluted offerings. They went through, what he's mean, what the prophet is saying there, they were just going through the motions. But not much enthusiasm for the house of the Lord. Once again, the prophet says these words. Okay, but you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, what a weariness this is. Now, what's happening there then? So the people have come back and they're going through the motions. What a weariness this is. They're doing it. They're putting in their appearance at the house of the Lord, but without much enthusiasm. It's not like it was. Back in the days, even before Israel fell, okay, the nation was split into Israel and Judah, but before Israel fell, religion had become a dead formality and the people weren't going through the motions. The prophet Hosea had to say to the people of Israel, it is time to seek the Lord. He also said, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled. Okay, so it's not like what it was. And the psalmist here in Psalm 126 has seen enough to start praying, to get on his knees, restore our fortunes, O Lord. He says, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. What is the Negev? Well, it's still there. It's a region, a desert region of southern Israel. You can find it on the map. Spoken about in the scripture. Isaiah speaks of it in Isaiah 30 as a land of trouble and anguish. The book of Judges speaks about the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the Negev. Okay, so just think of a dry, barren land. For the psalmist, the spiritual condition would have reminded him of this part of the land, the Negev. There's a drought. It's a time of drought. Dried up streams. But the psalmist also has hope that the rains will come and the dry streams will be filled. There will be floods upon the dry ground. Do those words sound familiar to you in any way? Floods upon the dry ground. It was actually the name of a book about the fisherman's revival that occurred here over 100 years ago by a man called Jackie Ritchie. He was quite a well-known preacher in this part of the country. Floods upon the dry ground, and it's certainly worth getting a hold of. It's difficult to get hold of, but it's certainly worth a read if you can get hold of it. But the psalmist is praying for floods upon the dry ground. The psalmist is asking God to do spiritually what he would do naturally. He's looking for an outpouring. Okay, he wants the streams in the Negev to be filled with water, but he's looking for an outpouring of God's power and grace to return to these days past when those times of rejoicing. And the people said, the Lord has done great things. He wants an end to the dryness and a time of rejoicing again. Can I ask us all this morning, have we dried up? Have we gone dry as a Christian? As Christians, have we gone dry as a church? When the Lord spoke to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, he commended them, but he also says this, I've got this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. And then there was a call to repent. What about our churches? Are they dry? When the psalmist prays, he acknowledges that God can transform a dry and barren land into something refreshing and fruitful in his hands. He's also saying something more, though. Remember, all scriptures God breathed. This psalmist is written under the inspiration of God. He's saying this is really what God desires. This is God's purpose, to give his people a future and a hope. So Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you future and a hope. God longs to bless his people. It may be a time of revival, maybe a time of renewal. It may be something different. If you're raising up a preacher who goes into a town or a community for a long time and sees much blessing and many converts, something like that. It may be a revival, it may be something different. It may be a time of chastisement which brings the people to their knees. God knows how to bless, and God knows when to bless and when to withhold blessing. But the psalmist is praying here, restore our fortunes, O Lord. And then, to finish, there's a promise from God. Okay, so you see a work of God to begin with. The Lord brings his people back. Then we have a plea to God, restore our fortunes. And finally, we have a promise from God in verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing the sheaves with him. First of all, do we need to get back to where we were? Have we fallen? Do we need to get back? Climb back up? Also, have you got a real desire to see floods upon the dry ground? You want to see conversions, want to see the church's empty seats being filled up. What must we do? Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. There's a call to repent, a call to persevere in prayer, to be earnest in prayer, and also to sow the seeds. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. To sow the seeds, to pass on, to just plant the seed of the word of God in the hearts of different people. Why has there been this national decline in churches, all sorts of churches, national churches and different denominations? Why has there been a decline in the churches down through the generation? Well, I can't give all the answers. The Lord is the one who knows all the answers. He's the one we are to look to. But certainly, firstly, look at our lives. Is there anything we need to repent of? Have we allowed things into our lives that we need to deal with, to change? There's a call to examine our own hearts. Revivals have come when people have been broken. What about our churches? Peter writes, "For it's time for judgment to begin at the household of God." Revivals begin when the church gets right with God. The more the church stands out, or the more a local church stands out from the world, the stronger its witness. I believe that. The more worldly the church, the less impact this has. You think back to Daniel and his three friends in exile in Babylon, how they did not bend the knee to the idols of the world, or to the golden idol. They stood out. Their witness was telling. If they'd compromised, they wouldn't have had any witness at all, no impact at all. The more a church stands out from the world, the stronger its witness. The more worldly the church, the less impact it will have. There's certainly here, I believe, in the psalm, a call for urgency, a call to persevere in prayer. Another prophet, Habakkuk, who's looking at the situation in the nation before the exile, he said, "How long shall I cry?" Okay, there's a man persevering in prayer, seeing the situation in the nation. "How long shall I cry?" He took it to the Lord, and he persevered. There does appear to be a connection between revivals and prayer. Okay, think for a moment of the Lewis Revival. I've not spoken about that one. As I mentioned, a list of revivals just a few moments ago. The Lewis Revival. Who's the most famous person? If you know anything about the Lewis Revival, who's the most famous person that people speak about? Well, it's Duncan Campbell. The next two that people speak about are two sisters, Peggy and Christine Smith. They are the two sisters that prayed, are known to have prayed before the revival. But let's remember this, there were actually many intercessors. Now, some good books have been written on the Lewis Revival. There's many intercessors. If it was just down to these three, we'd be saying revival just depends on the three people. Okay? There were many intercessors, but there was prayer meetings. People broken, people brought to prayer. And there was blessing in the community. So there is a connection between revivals and prayer. We need to sow in tears and get close to God. There's certainly a joy in being close to God and having fellowship with God. You know the joy the psalmist had here. Elsewhere, we read in another psalm, "You anoint, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Okay, my cup overflows. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." There's a joy in being close to God and in fellowship with God. So you've got a call for prayer. But let's remember a call for sowing the seed. Personal witness, reaching out, preaching the whole counsel of Christ. It's sad today as well. I think about preaching in some situations today, preaching has been watered down. During the revival, it was the whole counsel of Christ, the great doctrines of the Bible that were preached. Today, preaching has been watered down. No sin, no call to repent, no atonement, no hell. You hear things, now you be aware. Okay? You hear things like, "God's got a great plan for your life. He can get you out of the mess you're in. Come to Jesus." You'll hear things like that. You've got a lot of problems that you're trying to deal with. He can solve your problems. Come to him. Come to Jesus. People are pressed into decisions. There's no route. We discover, sadly, don't we, over time, that they were never really converted. Here's some words of... We need to get back to the preaching of the whole counsel of Christ. Here's words from a man who certainly knows a thing or two about preaching the gospel, Roger Carswell. "Where has all the gospel preaching gone?" Just read a few thoughts from him for a moment. "Jesus commanded us to proclaim to the nations and our neighbours four basic truths: his sufferings, his resurrection, repentance and forgiveness of sins. He promised that the Holy Spirit would empower us as we do. These four great truths are the essential ingredients to every gospel message. It is insufficient to have a crucified Christ without a risen Saviour. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But then to explain the hidden work of Jesus on the cross, as the Saviour was carrying on himself our sin, paying the penalty for our rebellion, dying to remove the barrier between us and God, is crucial. There can be no easy believism which causes so much confusion. But we must remind listeners that God commands all people everywhere to repent and receive the forgiveness of sins. And he concludes here, a message not explaining these truths, which are part of the Great Commission, is not a gospel message. We need to be on our guard. What are we needing today in the church? Brokenness, sowing in tears, prayer, preaching. That will bring the harvest. Backed up by godly living, backed up by the power of the Spirit, that will bring a harvest. God knows when to bless and God knows when to hold back blessing. Some blessing can come quickly. Other blessings will take a long time, much longer, and we have to persevere in prayer. Remember as well that God can work in other ways, not just in the great revival movements. God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But the psalmist here, let's conclude, the psalmist here is remembering a past blessing. Too good to be true, but it was true. The Lord restored the fortunes of the nation. The man, though, was now concerned about the current state of the people and the current state of the nation. He saw a decline. Are we seeing blessing today in Fraserburgh, in the community, Scotland? Are we seeing blessing? If not, we need to claim this promise. Let's begin to sow in tears. Let's always, through it all, have faith in a great and mighty God who is able to do wonderful things. Amen. So let's conclude our worship then. Let's sing our closing hymn, which is going to be up on screen. Thank you.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Life.
So, Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a great almighty God and you are still on the throne. And Lord, that you pray that you would restore our fortunes. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Help us indeed to be faithful, witnessing for you, sowing in tears and also sowing the seed. Cleanse us of our sin. Help us to walk humbly with you, Lord God, and be with us throughout the remainder of this day and through the coming week. And we pray that your grace, mercy and peace would be with us all. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.